When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the first hour of our first spring edition of Animal World. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet. Via streaming audio, that means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. Now, the best way to pick up the stream, go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And I'd say happy spring, but I'm looking out the window, and the last couple weeks was more like spring than today, because it was beautiful and sunny, and today it's drizzly and high clouds. Can see Seattle just barely, no mountains. But looking a little brighter this week would be Animal World's production engineer, Gary Hellis here. Good morning, Gary.
Hi.
Have you recovered from that flu bug yet?
I feel better.
Yeah, you look. It looks like you got a haircut this week too.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So Mary and Finley, your family, avoided the flu bug.
They did. They managed
successfully.
To.
That's
yeah,
good.
Thank goodness.
But it's taken a while to recover, even for a young guy like you.
Yeah,
right?
It was bad.
Well, we're glad that you're feeling better.
Yeah, I'm happy. I feel better too.
All right. I don't know if she's feeling better or not, but we'll find out. And that would be Animal World's co-producer and call screener, Sandy Gaston, is here. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning.
So are you feeling better?
I am feeling better. My mouth is still sore, but not as bad as it was last week.
Well, that's right. You had to, well, we didn't say anything, but you had to sneak out a little early to run off to the dentist.
Yep.
But
I had a sore in my mouth.
But
and I still have a sore in my mouth, but it's not as bad.
Well, that's good. That's good. All right.
So, and how are you? Are you feeling better?
Well, I was not feeling bad.
I know, but I thought I should just ask you that. Did you ask
well, thank
all
you for asking. No, I'm good.
Good.
I would say I'm a little tired. But, you know, that's often the case.
It's Sunday morning, Martha. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. What time do you usually get up? 9
well,
o'clock.
That depends.
10 o'clock?
No. Well, no. But well, I get up at 7. That's the first time I get up because to feed animals. But then I go back to bed. Then when I get up, then I spend at least an hour usually doing my meditation work and prayer work.
Yeah.
And then I'm out and about. Sometimes. Anyway. But I'm thinking of how I was feeling the last two Sundays. I was feeling a lot more awake. And I'm realizing now that's because it was sunny. And it was gorgeous
really
out there. Remember, it was so beautiful. Well, now, even last week was spring forward, and I usually sleep through that. But it was so sunny and beautiful, it couldn't help but feel great. But so
I know, this morning all I see is like a mist, whitish gray mist outside.
And I'm glad I made the call I did yesterday because the weather sure changed. But I have to say that I'm excited because I have made the maiden voyage on my riding lawnmower at my new place.
I'm jealous.
Excuse me. So my lawn, my grass is cut, and I'm a happy camper. And I got to tell you, you know, I mastered lawn mowing at the farm, but I had a riding mower, but it was a 0-degree turning radius.
Uh-huh.
So it was like driving a video game, and it was great fun. The one I got now that I bought from my previous owner when I moved is more like driving a little tractor.
Oh, nice.
So I'm getting used to that. But at the farm, I was thinking about it while I'm doing my cutting the grass now. if I didn't fool around and I mowed everything, all the mowable grass, not including pastures and that kind of stuff, because sometimes, you know, you cut those down too, but not including pastures, just the mowable grass on the farm property around both the houses and the arena and the barn, all of that, start to finish, if I didn't mess around and take any breaks except to put gas in the lawnmower if needed, it was 3 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. So what I'm doing now is like piece of cake. It's like, wow.
How long did it take you?
Oh, like, it would be probably start to finish, no fooling around. It would be 45 minutes.
Wow, yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So it's a whole different world.
Yeah.
And it's all flat. However, I did get stuck yesterday. I went a little off the, but I was able to dig myself out.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, all is good. Now, I should say, we have company in the studio today, which is always nice to have a round table. Although we have less company than we were supposed to have. But that's okay. Anyway, we all know that we've got through. I've got a happening event today that we'll start with. Got some follow-up. We'll do our animals in the news. Let's see. At 10 o'clock today, our tip will run, and we're taking a time out on the Martha's four-step flea plan because Easter is just around the corner. So you will get my March into April Easter tip. We'll be running at 10 o'clock, which basically says, do not bring home baby bunnies and chicks and ducks for Easter. Get the stuffed models, unless you really know what you're doing and can give them a wonderful forever home. So that will run at 10. 10:50, as usual, we'll have a short current events. And our Robin Alexis Soul Spa giveaway will be in the second hour today.
That's right.
And just so you know, if you're not familiar with Robin Alexis and Mystic Radio, her show runs live here on Wednesdays at noon, and I think reruns at 8 p.m. on Thursdays. It's robinalexis.com if you want to check out the website. The Soul Spa free one-year gift giveaway that we do is an incredible value. It's actually a $300 value, and gets you in the Soul Spa, which means you get a lot of extra privileges on the website. You get access to the three incredible healing portals. Have you had a chance to work with the new energy portals? They knock your socks off powerful or what? The Violet Flame portal is unbelievable, and the myth busting portal is unbelievable. If you don't know what I'm talking about,
trust
get on
me,
the website.
I use them every day.
Oh, me too. I have always
every single day.
I always have one of the portals open on my computer.
Too.
Yeah, and I do all the meditations. Like there will be a meditation tonight at 7:30, and Sunday and Monday evening, 7:30 to 8:30 Pacific time. Always there's a group meditation. Anyway, check it out: www.robinalexis.com. And in order to qualify to win the free Soul Spa giveaway, you must be a new member to the Soul Spa, but you must have already gone to the website and checked it out. So we need to know you can navigate the website, and this is something you'd really be interested in winning. So www.robinalexis.com. Join the website that you would sign up for the free newsletter. So you'll get a username and password, and that doesn't cost you anything. Or you can sign up for the free month's trial of the Soul Spa. And you will need your username and password to be qualified to win.
Right. Last week I had three or four phone callers that had, and they could have been winners, and
they
had no username or password, and you have to have it.
Yep, have to have it to qualify to win. You got to be a new member. So check it out this hour, www.robinalexis.com, because we will do the giveaway in the 10 o'clock hour, and I'll let you know when to call in. Yeah, okie dokie there. All right. We have an event. Well, and then once we get through all of that, I guess I got sidetracked here. Once we get through all of our normal stuff, then we're going to the elephants today. So sitting next to me at the table is Aline Fortgang. She is the co-founder of Friends of the Woodland Park Zoo Elephants. Is that correct?
Well, it's Friends of Woodland Park
Friends
Zoo.
Friends
of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants.
All right. And which is, it always, when I look at your title, it always says a NARN campaign.
Yes,
so what's NARN?
NARN is Northwest Animal Rights Network. It's a animal rights organization that's been around for decades, and they do wonderful stuff. And we are their campaign, working on getting the elephants out of the zoo and into the 2,700-acre sanctuary in Tennessee.
All right. So we, our basic focus today throughout the show is going to be understanding the world of elephants in zoos and
exactly.
captivity, right?
Right?
And so we're going to be educating you about that, specifically about our elephants here at Woodland Park Zoo, Bamboo, Chai, and Watoto, what's going on with them, what we'd like to see happen. We'll be hearing from a lot of experts, a lot of great information today. So Aline is here in the studio and is going to be with us throughout the show. Now, we were going to have Nancy Farnham was also going to be in the studio with us because she's local, but apparently,
right.
unfortunately, poor yeah. lady is, dear lady is home with strep throat.
Right.
But Nancy will join us now. She's a registered nurse.
Yes, she is.
And has apparently been working, though, on elephants, elephant issues.
Oh, she actually started the Free Bamboo campaign about 5 years ago.
Okay.
And now she has her own organization called Sound Animal Rights Alliance.
All right.
And she'll be with us on
the
phone.
So even though she's home with strep throat, she's going to join us on the phone, and that'll be after the bottom of this hour. She will join and chime in. But Aline is here, and I wanted to introduce her so you know that she's here, because as we do the animals in the news, she may be chiming in as well. So
okay.
And let's see. And then throughout the show, boy, we've got some great people to talk to. We have Catherine Doyle from In Defense of Animals, who is their elephant expert. And she will be joining us. We'll be talking to Dr. Mel Richardson. He is a veterinarian and a former Woodland Park Zoo veterinarian.
Right.
So he can speak specifically to our elephants here at Woodland Park and that sort of stuff. And then we will be joined by the founder of the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee, Carol Buckley.
Yes.
We'll be here in the last hour of the show, so we'll find out all about that. So we've got all kinds of great stuff going on.
It's a great lineup.
Yeah. So we can look forward to all of that. All right, let's see. What do we got first up? Oh, first up, we have a happening today. If you are considering adding a dog to your family, the Lucky Dog Adoption event is today from noon to 3 p.m. at the Academy of Canine Behavior in Bothell. Now, the address there is 4705 240th Southeast in Bothell, just off of 405, north of the 522 interchange. Very easy to get to. If you go to their website, www.aocb.com, you can get directions. I think there's also a link to directions on the Positive Alliance, who are the sponsors of this event. There will be dogs and puppies from 9 different shelters all over the state today. All of them have been temperament tested and evaluated and I think chipped and vaccinated and spayed and neutered and all that sort of stuff. And there will be plenty of adoption counselors there to help you pick out a best friend and an animal that's best suited for you and your family. So if you're interested in looking for a dog friend today from noon to 3 at the Academy of Canine Behavior, you get website for more information, www.positivealliance, and that's P-A-W. positivealliance.org. So that's happening today. Oh, Sandy.
Yeah.
You'll be interested in this. Follow up. You know, within the last month, we have added a new sponsor and advertiser here on Animal World in Clover.
Yes.
Who makes the incredible arthritic supplement, or pain supplement, Connectin, which, you know, I told you the miracle story about my Annie Golden, who absolutely would not be alive today without Connectin. It is the absolute best supplement to deal, you know, for arthritic dogs and cats that I've ever found. And if you know of someone that has a dog with, or an animal with, you know, arthritic problems and pain, it's absolutely miraculous. I found out the hard way, you know, when I tried to take Annie off it and switch to another one. When it wore off, she absolutely could not get off the floor. She was in excruciating pain.
Really good product.
Yeah. Well, they also make a wonderful digestive enzyme and probiotic.
I know. I'm using it now.
Optigest. So am I. Well, listen to this. Now, you regular listeners will recognize Peg Bauer's name. Peg is a regular listener in Olympia. And she is often on Vet Sundays when Dr. Al Pluckner is here because she rescues messed up bulldogs. And they've all had the Pluckner imbalance, and she works with Dr. Al to get them stabilized and all of that. Well, she has her latest one. I've actually met Pershing, her latest one. I met him up at Dr. Bill's at Quilcita. one day I got to meet Peg and Pershing, and what a cute bulldog, but boy, has he had a lot of problems. Well, listen to this. She says, now, in this email, Sandy, calling me out here, she said, I told Sandy last week, but don't know if she passed it on to you. Sandy didn't pass it on to me.
Well, that's because I went to the doctor.
Oh, okay. That's your excuse. All right, so here we go. She said, I thought I would give In Clover's Optigest a shot with Pershing. Even with a normal IgA, that means the antibody that supports the intestinal tract is normal. And even on the enzymes that Dr. Al had recommended, his gut had been so screwed up, you could hear it all over the house. All night, she says. Poor guy, he'd be constantly up and down all night, apparently trying to get comfortable. He would belch, reflux, fart, and his gut would be hugely noisy. Can you imagine living with that? She said, I liked what I heard from your In Clover person on your show, so I picked up some Optigest at Mud Bay Granary. The first night, his gut normalized. Okay, he still farts occasionally, but he's a bulldog after all. That stuff really kicks ass.
Okay, now because of what she told me, I the next day immediately called a friend of mine in Virginia Beach who has a 14-year-old basset hound named Elder Clara. And Elder Clara has the same problem that her dog has. Now, I have not received a report on what Clara... But her tailpipe is going full blast 24/7, and just drives the other basset hounds out of the house.
Oh my!
So we're really hoping. And you know the best part is, it's 100% money back guaranteed if this does not help your dog normalize its gut.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So
it's very good stuff.
I was using up what I had left before I switched over to
the Optigest.
I did the
same thing.
And when Peg told me, it's like, okay. Prozyme out the door. I started the Optigest right away. So
I started it because Yolabine had a real bad case of diarrhea, and she normalized in a day. I have no idea why she got diarrhea, but the poor thing was passing gas and diarrhea, and she was better the next day.
All right. So thank you, Peg, for your report.
Stuff.
Anyone else, if you're interested in the Optigest, the digestive enzymes and probiotics, or the Connectin, it's glucosamine, chondroitin, and 9 herbs at therapeutic levels, check out inclover.com. Or listen, you will hear their ads running throughout the show. All right. So now in the follow-up news department, got several things going on. Now, I told you, I think we reported on this in the last couple of weeks, the United Nations panel that has been meeting, and remember Japan was accusing us of Japan bashing because we were going to promote a ban on bluefin tuna. I didn't realize that we were also proposing a ban on hunting polar bears. Did you know that polar bears are still hunted?
Yes.
I kind of didn't. I guess I've had my head in the sand on that one. I kind of didn't think anybody shot those big bears for hunting, but apparently they do. Anyway, the sad news is the delegates at the United Nations Conference on Endangered Species in Doha, Qatar, on Thursday, defeated U.S.-supported proposals to ban international trade in bluefin tuna and to ban commercial hunting of polar bears. Quote, it wasn't a very good day for conservation, a spokesman for the UN organization had to say. It shows the governments are not yet ready to adopt trade bans as a way to protect species. Well, hopefully they'll get ready soon. Because, you know, Japan came out and they, in as much they actually said, okay, go ahead and ban bluefin tuna, but, you know, we're not going to do it. We're opting out. We're going to keep... So, you know, I think they're just going to, what's going to happen is there just aren't going to be any more left. So, hopefully they'll wise up. Oh, another follow-up. Remember the cruelty case? This was last year sometime when the father and son decided that their Rottweiler needed to die because it was biting and they took it out in the woods and shot it. And left it for dead, and had been shot a bunch of times, but wasn't dead.
Right.
And the that has come to a head, and King County prosecutors will not retry a Tuck Williman after his trial on animal cruelty charges ended in a mistrial on Friday. I kind of don't understand how that could happen, but his son was found not guilty of the same charge on Friday, and apparently the prosecutors have said they will not retry. So, well, hopefully they and a bunch of other people learned their lesson on that one.
I doubt it.
Yeah. Okay, this is another follow-up. We mentioned this last week, and this has to do with elephants. The elephant breeding draws complaint, and remember we talked about the fact that Woodland Park Zoo had once again artificially inseminated chai just within the last couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And the animal rights organization in defense of animals has filed a complaint with the U.S. Department of Agriculture charging that Woodland Park Zoo's elephant breeding program violates the Federal Animal Welfare Act. And that because of the artificially inseminating chai, and basically the bottom line is they feel they're violating it because, and Aline, you understand this, that the herpes virus is there at Woodland Park, and Watoto is a carrier.
Well, they're probably all
probably
carrier.
Are.
Well, Hansa died of the herpes
Hansa,
virus.
The baby, yeah.
And so all three elephants, surviving elephants, are carriers of the, they were exposed to it, and they're probably carrying it. And the sad thing is that after artificially inseminating chai, if she should become pregnant, she can actually kill her own fetus or calf.
Right.
She can pass it along, and it's just the saddest thing. And we'll go into greater detail.
Yeah,
about
because
this.
Obviously we've got Carolyn Doyle.
Yes,
from in defense of animals will be joining us today,
yes.
So we can find out a little bit more about that when she's on.
Yes, and Nancy Farnham is quite
Nancy's knowledgeable about
very
that
knowledgeable.
Too. I just, frankly, personally, I just don't understand how, in good conscience, they can do this. I know they've convinced themselves that they're helping, but...
Well, it's pretty unethical from my point of view to even take a chance of bringing in a calf into that environment where it's almost a certain death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. But baby elephants bring in money.
That's right. It's good for the gate.
Okay. In the general news department, this could have gone in follow-up because you remember a couple of weeks ago, well, the first Sunday of the month, Dr. Bill Burlingame was here for Vet Sunday. And remember, he was so interested in all the fishing stuff?
Yes.
Well, fishing made the front page of the Seattle Times this week on Monday, The Lure of Steelhead. So quite an interesting article. So if you want to know more about fishing, oh, you know what I decided yesterday? Because remember Dr. Bill said he goes fishing. But he doesn't fish. You know, a lot of it is just the atmosphere and the being out and away and enjoying the fresh air and the water, but you don't really have to catch any fish. That's my kind of fishing. Anyway, I decided that mowing my lawn is my fishing. That's when I go fishing. It's kind of like a Zen experience, chugging around on my little tractor. Anyway, so if you want to know more about steelheading, there's the front page article, and it's a good article, and I learned some stuff. Great photograph in the story about, did you hear about the golden eagle that's now at Woodland Park Zoo?
Yeah.
And this is out of Thursday, Seattle Times. A picture of the golden eagle under anesthesia with the vet. And apparently this eagle was seriously injured in 2008 and has been at a raptor rehab center. Has not been at Sarvey Wildlife, who we talk to every month, but has been at a raptor rehab center. And due to the bird's injuries, he cannot be released back into the wild. So he's been moved to the Woodland Park Zoo and will move into their raptor center after his isolation and so forth is done. That will be April 1st. So now, Aline, I don't know how you feel about this kind of stuff, but I can feel like these animals that are injured and can't be returned, many of these are really happy to give this lifetime to serving humans and be educational birds. How do you feel about that?
Well, I feel that the zoo could serve a very valuable role in being sort of a zoo sanctuary,
mm-hmm.
where animals who can't otherwise be returned back into the wild, you know, have a place to be, and they don't have to be euthanized. And and that's the role I see of zoos, rather than breeding or capturing animals to be held captive for their whole
life. So I was going to put this in good news. Because to say that, you know, see, this golden eagle is still serving and can live a decent life because it can't go back in the wild. And those are the animals that should be in zoos. So, but
right,
so you
absolutely.
Agree? Well, how about that? We're all in agreement.
Yeah, the zoo does some wonderful things. It's just the elephant program is not one of them.
All right. Okay. So speaking of not wonderful things, did you hear about the baby fish that were killed?
No.
Oh, this is just sick. This is out of Mill Creek. Someone broke into a fish hatchery run by an Everett School District environmental education program and killed thousands of baby salmon. Now, get that. The Herald reports that late Monday or early Tuesday, someone entered the Lively Environmental Center and used a small net to scoop out the tiny fry. They released about 13,000 into a nearby Nickel Creek, even though they were only about the size of the last joint on an adult's finger. About 1,000 fry appear to have been stomped to death on a wooden deck, and around 5,000 were taken away in buckets and dumped in a pile on a path.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you know,
I don't understand. I just don't understand the mentality there.
Yeah, now the state replaced the school district's fish at no charge, but the caretaker at the hatchery says the emotional damage is not so easy to undo. And the fish are typically released by children at the end of the school year. So it's probably got to be ticked off kids for some reason, but you know, I just their hearts aren't open. How can you do that? Very sorry. So, let's see. Ah, here's another. see where you're on this one, Aline. This is out of Pittsburgh, New Hampshire. Dinner in the headlights, car deer crashes, alter menu. Out of Pittsburgh, New Hampshire. Up here, folks have another word for roadkill. Quote, it's dinner. When a whitetail gets clipped by a passing vehicle on Route 3, conservation officers Chris Egan or Police Chief Richard LaPointe comes out to survey the damage. If the animal can be salvaged, it's offered to the driver who hit it. If the driver doesn't want it, they start making calls. They keep a list of people who will take the animal for, you know, the meat. And as of February 15th, more than 50 collisions between deer and vehicles had been reported in Pittsburgh and neighboring Clarksville. And this is apparently a 10-mile stretch of Route 3. It's too bad they couldn't do animal overpasses or underpasses or something so all this doesn't happen. But it says, now, and here is something of consequence or significance. Conservation authorities say the problem is compounded by residents who feed the deer altering their patterns of movement and putting the animals and drivers at greater risk of accidents. So that goes along with our communication with Coyote recently, who was telling us that we need to stop feeding the wild animals because we're messing up the detail. But on the other hand, it says, you know, we have gotten deer to families who need it. There are a lot of people who aren't working or on limited incomes, so a higher percentage of people are needing the deer to feed their families. So at least once they're killed, they're going to a good cause. So I think you would support that, wouldn't you, Aline?
Yes, I would.
Yeah. At least they're, you know, the bodies are being used and feeding people, but would be nice if they could figure out how to not kill that many on the road. Okie dokie. That wraps up the news portion, and that just leaves us with the best good news about animals. Yeah, I kind of figured it was not quite ready. He never knows if I'm going to do it or not. There we go. We need it today, Gear. It's gotten darker.
I'm not optimistic.
No, look at Seattle's disappearing. It's almost gone. Sometimes, Aline, when we play the good music, the sunshine song, the sun will come out.
Oh, wow.
Like I said, you heard it from the boss. Gary says he's not real optimistic. Okay, in the good news department here. Oh, this is kind of a cute article. Do you know anything about burrowing owls?
Can't say
well,
I do.
I guess I really didn't even know there was such a thing. This is out of Kennewick. Burrowing owls looking for nesting sites in the mid-Columbia will find more options this spring thanks to a project biologist hope increases their declining numbers. Volunteers and biologists with the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife and the U.S. Department of Fish and Wildlife Services are creating a series of artificial burrows to encourage the small owls to nest and give their offspring plenty of places to raise their own chicks in the future. Artificial burrows have been successful in encouraging owls to nest at the Umatilla Chemical Depot. So this spring, wildlife biologists locally have been busy installing man-made structures at locations near existing burrowing owl sites. Now, there's a lot more information about these burrowing owls and what they're doing, so you can look that up on the Seattle Times website if you want more details. But that's kind of neat. Oh, like this one. Sandy's on the phone, so she won't be able to comment. But some good news here. You know, when you hear often while we run Martha's four-step flea plan so you can avoid the chemical flea killers because they can be so dangerous. Well, the good news right now is that the EPA is making moves to make flea and tick products safer. Complaints of dogs and cats injured and sometimes killed by flea treatments have increased significantly. The EPA said Wednesday it outlined plans to make the product safer. They will be developing stricter testing and evaluation requirements for flea and tick treatments that are applied to pet skins. The agency will also begin reviewing labels to determine which ones need to say more clearly how to use the products. The EPA's effort follows increasing complaints from pet owners that the spot-on products have triggered reaction in dogs and cats ranging from skin irritation to neurological problems to death. So that's why I say in my tip, you know, if you knew the truth about these products, you wouldn't use them. So, and you can deal with fleas without the chemicals. And just to give you an idea here, the EPA said it received over 44,000 reports of harmful reactions in 2008, which was up from 29,000 in 2007. And so I'm thinking if 44,000 people complained, that number's got to be a lot higher, because how many people, I think the vast majority of people would not lodge a formal complaint. So not good. There's a lot of, it's a risky deal. All right, let's see. Oh, I think I might give that the winning position. This is a good news alert from the post office. They're coming out with a new series of stamps to encourage people to rescue animals. So the new stamps will be available on April 30th, and it's all about adopting a shelter pet. 44-cent stamps, animal rescue, adopt a shelter pet special stamps campaign, and so look for those stamps and buy them. All right. Then another good news story. I mean, it didn't start off as good news. I don't know if you heard the story about the trailer that burned recently in our area and the owner did not survive. Well, the good news is that his two cats were rescued by firefighters. And even though they were pretty injured, Seattle Animal Shelter and their Healthy Animal Funds was able to treat them, and they've recovered. Their names are Shadow and Satin, and they are very dear friends. And Satin's injuries were so bad, the kitty felt so bad because of the burns on its nose and face that it wouldn't eat unless its partner, Shadow Kitty, was with it. So they're very bonded with each other, and they are now available for adoption at Seattle Animal Shelter. So if you or anyone you know could adopt these cats together, that would be ideal. So Seattle Animal Shelter, Satin and Shadow are up for adoption. And, okay, we'll give the winning, the best good news about animals helps a lot, and that this is because of, actually, the stimulus program dumped another $4.6 million from the federal stimulus money into cleaning up Puget Sound. And divers have pulled thousands of old fishing nets and crab pots out of Northwest waters since 2002. We've reported on that. They've removed more than 2,650 fishing nets, more than 2,000 crab pots, and with the stimulus money, they hope to have all the waters in Puget Sound. It says the money is allowing the initiative to focus on removing about 90% of all lost and abandoned commercial fishing nets from Puget Sound waters by this December. So that's going to save a lot of marine life. So there you go. That wraps up Best Good News About Animals. And we will now take care of our advertisers and sponsors, because they're the most important part of the show, because without them, there's no us. So please pay attention, support them, and when we come back, continue. Aline Fortgang is here, friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants, and we will be joined by Nancy Farnham, if she has a voice, and we're going to the elephants. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com.
Call karma specialist and metaphysical mother Robin Alexis for your free on-air readings Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Psychic medium Robin Alexis helps countless people to live fuller and more conscious lives on Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis. Call Wednesdays for your free on-air readings and hear rebroadcasts of Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis Thursdays at 8 p.m. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage. Teaching pet owners and horse owners since 2001, the Northwest School of Animal Massage offers flexible online and hands-on classes, transforming your life and the lives of your animals. To learn more about animal health and well-being, go to nwsam.com and check Pet Shop Talk. And for more information about animal massage classes or Reiki classes, go to nwsam.com or call 877-836-3703. That's 877-836-3703.
Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend, and Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Now, you can go to the Animal World website, Martha Norwalk. Click on the Jones & Company logo on the home page. That will take you to their website, and you can see everything that's on sale, because, shoot, usually they have everything but the kitchen sink on sale. It's always worth a trip up to Jones & Company, and join the Preferred Customer Club while you're there. You'll find them on State Street in Marysville, or you can give them a call at 360-658-7817. That's 360-658-7817 at Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Talk radio with a difference. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk, and we are just getting rolling with our subject today on Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Aline Fortgang is my guest in the studio today. She is the co-founder of Friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants. And we are also joined now by Nancy Farnham. She's actually a registered nurse, but has a lot to do with animal stuff. So let's welcome Nancy. Good morning, Nancy. Welcome to Animal World.
Good morning, Martha. Thanks for having us.
Oh, you're welcome. Hey, you sound pretty good for someone almost strep
throat. I'm on antibiotics, and I'm going to feel better.
Well, bless your heart for joining us anyway. Now, before we get into the elephants, let's chat just a little bit about who the two of you are. So, Alina, how long have you been involved with elephants? And
It's about 4 years now.
Okay.
And the elephant, the Free Bamboo campaign was started about 5 years ago, and I joined about a year later.
Okay. But you haven't just been working for the welfare of animals for the last 4 or 5 years. This has been something you've been doing for a long time.
Oh, yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, 10, 12 years now. I had the great fortune of being able to retire at 48 years old, and I've been working on animal issues since then.
All right. So that's your passion, and that's what
do
is,
very
is
much so.
Animal passion. And how about you, Nancy? I mean, we know that you're a registered nurse, but I also, what Aline earlier in the show made reference to the fact that you're the one that started the campaign to save bamboo?
I did, in January of 2005.
So tell us a little bit about your background. How'd you get into the elephant stuff?
Well, I remembered bamboo from the old days when she used to be walked on zoo grounds when David Hancock's was director.
Uh-huh.
And even after he left. And my memories of her were very vivid as a very friendly, sweet-natured elephant.
Now, what do you mean that she used to be walked on the zoo grounds?
Well, David Hancock's tried to improve the quality of life for the elephants in his care.
Mm.
And so he ordered them to be walked on zoo grounds to give them exercise and mental stimulation, and so they could see the sights and get a change of scenery and everything.
That sounds like a really good thing.
Oh, yes, very. And the keepers used to invite people to come up to Bamboo and pet her and interact with her. And my memories of her were as a friendly, sweet-natured elephant, very cooperative. And when the zoo announced that they were going to move her down to Tacoma after 37 years in 2005, they were describing her as aggressive, as ill-tempered, just generally as a bad elephant, as dangerous. And I sort of did a double take. I couldn't believe this description of her, and I thought to myself, if she has experienced such a dramatic change in her temperament, then something bad must have happened to her. And that's, in fact, what we found out.
What did you find out?
Well, we found that she was not only reacting to years in confined captivity, but she was also reacting to some very brutal treatment at the zoo.
Wow. Now, when you mentioned this David Hancock and the exercise program for the elephants, I mean, we know, and we're going to get into more detail about what do elephants really need, but kind of the bottom line is that they spend, in the wild, they spend most of their life walking.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And it's very important for them. So the space that the elephants have at our Woodland Park Zoo is less than an acre. And there's
outdoors, yeah.
Outdoors. And there's no way that they can duplicate what they do in the wild, which is, you know, I don't know if either of you have the statistics, and I'm sure we'll hear it from our experts later in the show, but in the wild, how many miles a day elephants would normally walk?
Well, they can walk, you know, 10 to several hundred in a day.
10 to 100 miles.
You know, generally, I think people, you know, 5-10 miles a day is pretty normal.
So this program that Hancock had going at the zoo and bringing those elephants out to walk around the zoo, that sounds like that would be a really good thing for the elephants.
Well, it's
how come they don't do that anymore?
Well, after he left, they brought in somebody to revamp their elephant program, and he instituted a lot of circus-style management techniques, including beatings with bull hooks and chaining for up to 16 hours a day, and just a lot of brutal treatment. Excuse me?
Who is this person?
His name was Alan Campbell.
Now, is he still at the zoo?
He was killed by an elephant in Honolulu in 1994.
Whew, that's karma for you, huh?
Yeah, really.
Well, she went on a rampage.
Yeah,
and went rampaging through the streets, but not before she killed Alan Campbell.
Wow.
And they shot her dead in the streets of Honolulu.
Oh, bless her heart.
Yeah.
So it was when he came on board that this walk in the elephants in the zoo stopped. I wonder why they haven't.
The brutality started.
And then the brutality started.
Of abuse. And she became aggressive reacting to that abuse, and so they could no longer take her on walks, and it just sort of disappeared.
Gosh, that's, that's just really sad. Last week we had several elephant stories in the news, and one of the things I noticed and we talked about is quite dramatic. Now, I know, Nancy, you're not here, so you can't see these pictures, but you may have seen them last week in the papers. The first picture was sent in to the Seattle Times, a reader postcard. It was a photograph that Tara Holland from Whitefish, Montana, took at an elephant preserve in Africa. So we're talking a wild elephant. And you see this picture of this elephant, you know, the elephant looks happy and the tail is up and swinging and the trunk is swinging and the legs are coming up in a prance and the ears are out.
And the body is fit.
Yeah, it looks really great. And then the other picture that was in the paper last week was about Chai's artificial insemination, and is a picture of Chai at Woodland Park Zoo. Now, Aline, look at the difference of that. The picture of Chai at the zoo.
The head is down.
The head is down. The energy is dark. The head's down. The tail. It's the difference of night and day in those two photographs, which really, really brings to light the difference between an elephant in captivity and or in a cramped, abusive captivity, and one that's free and wild. So it really brings the point home. So we've got some time here before we're done with this hour. So what would the two of you like to preface all of this stuff?
Well, I think, you know, we should definitely talk about breeding, because that's current and it's a hot topic and it's of great concern to all of us. But I think we need to start out by talking a little bit about elephants and what they need to live, you know, healthfully. Elephants are genetically wired to walk great distances. We spoke about that. They need to do this. They walk whether they're looking for food, and they walk whether food is plentiful. So that's what they do. Science has shown us that they are highly intelligent. They possess deep feelings and deep emotions. And as all of us know, they retain lifelong memories. They don't forget. And they have a complex family life and a very rich and deep social life. They're very much like humans in many ways. And what we've done in the zoo environment is we've put them in such small spaces where their natural instincts are deprived, and they can't do what an elephant is supposed to do. Basically, I mean, yesterday I went to the zoo. Now, by the looks of today, you wouldn't remember, might not realize that yesterday it was absolutely gorgeous. It was sunny. It was 67 degrees. Bamboo was brought into the barn first. She was brought in at three.
Well, now, why don't you, before you go into detail here, because there's got to be people listening that are not in this area, or they may be and have never been to the zoo.
Right.
So would you describe the habitat for them at the zoo?
Okay. The outdoor habitat is less than an acre. That acre, or less than an acre, is divided into four pens. At no time do the elephants ever have the entire less than an acre, because Watoto and Bamboo are aggressive towards each other. So they must always be kept separated. So they basically get a pen or two pens that is a fraction of an acre. Then they are brought indoors. Now, for about 7 months of the year, and that is from about October 1st through April 30th, the elephants are brought in, as Bamboo was yesterday. They're brought in at about 3:30 in the afternoon. Yesterday, Bamboo was brought in at 3:40. And she's lured into the farthest room, which I call the shower room. It's a tiny room, about 23
feet. It's like a big concrete room.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. And in fact, she's standing on concrete that has a thin mat of rubber. But it's essentially, she's 8,000-pound animal standing on concrete. She was brought into that room. The door was locked behind her, and there she would spend the next 17 hours until this morning when she was let out again.
And why is she confined for all those hours?
Because she has to be kept separate from Watoto.
Watoto is the African elephant,
right, with
isn't
the tusks.
She?
They're all three are girls.
All three are female.
Yes.
And Chai and Bamboo are Asian elephants.
Correct.
So they're a little smaller, right? Isn't
right.
the African is the big
right.
one? And Watoto has tusks.
Right.
And Chai and Bamboo do not.
Correct.
Okay. And but so Chai and Watoto, do they get along?
Yes, they do.
They get along, and so they can be together.
Correct.
But Bamboo doesn't get along with
Watoto.
Either with Watoto, but gets along with Chai?
Yes.
Okay, so Bamboo has to be confined.
Chai is very passive.
Okay.
And Bamboo is a dominant Asian female, and Watoto knows that. And she wants to be in charge. And so she's aggressive to Bamboo.
Gotcha.
So either Watoto or Bamboo are in solitary confinement for the 17 hours until the next morning when the keepers come in and let them out.
Yeah.
So yesterday, Bamboo was brought in, 3:40, followed by Chai and Watoto, and there they would be for the next 17 hours.
Does anybody get to stay out?
Not this time of year, no.
And that's because of the temperature?
Exactly.
Okay.
AZA regulations state that the elephants need to be indoors when it's 40 degrees or less. However, we've been observing the elephants for over 2 years now. I mean, we've probably been there between myself and other people in the campaign have been there 50, 60 times.
So you just go out to the zoo and watch them?
Exactly.
Okay.
Oh, and I learn something every time I go.
Oh, okay.
So, so they were in for 17 hours yesterday. Now, the thing of it is what's particularly cruel about this confinement and the crushing boredom that it causes is that elephants only sleep 4 hours a day. They are active 20 out of 24 hours a day.
And in the wild, you
mean? In the wild.
Okay.
And probably Woodland Park Zoo, too.
Hmm.
But these elephants are kept in these barn stalls, basically with food and water and a couple of food toys. When the food is gone out of the boomer balls, nothing to do. And we have taken videos of Watoto, for example, pacing in semicircles. Then she stops to pee, and then she continues pacing again. But there's no space to avoid walking in the pee, and and then she'll stop and she'll sway in front of the door that will eventually let her out. And we have about 24 minutes of that on video. And it's
and
just
all three of the surviving elephants display severe neurotic behaviors like swaying, as Aline said. And both Watoto and Bamboo are well documented as exhibiting a lot of aggression, which is also a neurotic reaction to being severely confined. Chai spends most of her time rocking back and forth, just incessantly.
Yeah, Chai, at any time, inside, outside, day or night, lightness or in darkness, you can see her pacing on her front feet and bobbing her head up and down.
So she kind of like she's standing but not
yes.
moving, but she's picking her front feet up and down and bobbing her head up and down.
Yep.
Right.
Because, I mean, what I'm getting is that, I mean, there's a cellular need for them to move.
Mm-hmm.
And walk, and she can't because there's no space.
Right.
Well,
so they kind of just move in space.
People going stir crazy.
Yeah.
In prison.
Yeah.
Yes, it's very very similar.
So they engage in these behaviors a lot.
Right. And these behaviors are quite detrimental to their health, especially the health of their feet.
Mm.
I mean, sure, it's a mental. In fact, I have a quote by Jeff Williamson, who's been in the zoo industry for over 30 years. And he basically said that this kind of behavior verges on mental illness.
Mm.
And it's really bad for their feet as well. And foot problems are the number one reason zoo elephants are euthanized. And all three elephants at Woodland Park Zoo have foot problems. And it's really serious what we are doing to these animals for our two-minute stare.
And the average zoo visitor does not realize what they're seeing.
Okay, explain, Nancy.
Well, I've heard zoo visitors say that Chai is dancing, explaining to a child, you know, they say, well, what is she doing? Well, she's dancing.
Yeah, I actually heard a child say, look, Daddy, the elephant's doing the cha-cha-cha.
Mm. Yeah,
like
so they don't understand what they're seeing, and the zookeepers tend to just perpetuate these images. They try to give ridiculous excuses to explain them away, like it's anticipatory behavior. Well, it's not anticipatory behavior. It's severe, distressed behavior. Mm-hmm. And I think that the lack of honesty in telling the zoo visitor what it is they're really seeing, I think, is very disturbing.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's kind of like, I mean, how can they do otherwise, though? I mean, they...
Right.
Well, that's true, and I think that should probably tell them something about what they're doing to these animals. The fact that they have to, you know, mislead people in order to continue doing it, I think perhaps they should start asking themselves questions as to why.
Yeah.
Yeah, and certainly you folks have had many conversations with the zoo, have you not, about what's going on in their elephant program and so forth?
Well, you know, yes, we have. And I'm thinking back to the zoo board meeting that was on December 2nd, 2008. Bruce Upchurch, who's a behavioral management curator, stood up.
Yeah, he's been in the studio here with us.
Mm-hmm. He stood up and he said, the elephants get out 7 to 8 hours a day and they are happy and healthy. Well, if you do the math, he actually confirmed exactly what we exposed, that the elephants are locked up 16 to 17 hours a day. Mm-hmm. They are not happy and they are certainly not healthy. We have the medical records. We know what's wrong with these elephants. And this type of severe captivity is bad for their health. And furthermore, one of the things that the zoo says that is also very disturbing is that elephants live to be 45 years old. Well, anybody can look up on the internet and see that the natural lifespan of an elephant is 60 to 70 years.
Mm.
So, in effect, the zoo environment is killing elephants prematurely by decades.
Mm. Zoos are net consumers of elephants. They are not conservers of elephants. Their death rate is greater than their birth rate. Which also
and yet, when
what
we talk to
confinement is doing.
When we talk to the zoo, they say, of course, that they're helping keep elephants on the planet. And
that's not true. It's just not true. You can't get around the facts that are in their own statistics.
Hmm.
Yeah, what's interesting is that the zoo environment is killing elephants prematurely, just as poachers and loss of habitat are doing in the wild. The outcome is exactly the same. Elephants die young. But at least in the wild, they're acting like elephants and living like
elephants.
Yeah, they
get to be elephants.
They get to be elephants.
Yeah,
but in the zoo, they suffer every single day of their life.
Yeah, it just, I find it so difficult to understand how we can keep doing this. And how the people that live with those elephants can actually stand up and say they're happy and healthy. That how the behavior they engage in, that the two of you are saying, is neurotic, unhealthy behavior.
But the zoo is saying,
oh, it's not. I just don't get it.
Well, you know,
they have a very powerful vested interest in keeping elephants in their zoos. They consider them to be lucrative draws that bring people in to pay admission fees.
Mm-hmm.
And they're convinced that if they don't have elephants on display, people will stop coming to zoos. But the zoos, the more progressive ones that have closed their elephant exhibits and sent their elephants to sanctuaries, have not reported any decrease in revenue. So that simply isn't true.
Yeah, we're just about to the end of this first hour, and we'll need to close up, but I was thinking, I think it was last week when we were talking about elephants and preparing for the show and so forth, I was thinking about my experience as a child because I grew up in Seattle. And my parents would take us, me and my brother, to the zoo. I mean, we went every week. And I always loved to go to the zoo. But thinking back on it, what I loved, there were two things I really loved. And the first thing was the Rose Garden. Okay, and getting out and seeing the roses.
It's special.
And then I can remember we get through the gate and my, you know, whoever's holding my hand will let it go. I would take off like a shot and I would run all the way through to the zoo to get back to the back part where the goats were. And now that I think back on it, the only place I wanted to go in the zoo and the only place I felt good in the zoo was visiting the goats. Because the goats had plenty of space and were being goats, and the goats were happy. I couldn't go into the